can't reach over. Amen. There's not a gender barrier. I'm glad that God fills males and females with the Holy Ghost, don't you? There's not a language barrier. Are you thankful today that God fills people with the Holy Ghost that speaks in other languages, other cultures? And we have people from Puerto Rico here, Cuba, Mexico, amen, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas. Amen. I'm glad that God is able to fill whosoever with the Holy Ghost. God didn't stop at the state line. Amen. But God drew the line and said, I will stand for whosoever. Let him come unto me and drink. For this well of living waters, amen, when it flow in your soul, amen, it will save your soul. Amen. Son of God, what a privilege today to be in God's house. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Look what God's done. All the multiplication, obtaining, all the things that God is doing according to divine power, just to give you opportunity. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great, and somebody said precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine promises. Look what God has done to enable you to be a partaker. That by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, somebody say abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for that. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Diligence. You could circle that word, highlight that word. Give diligence to make your calling and election what? Sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never, somebody say it. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know what I find all through this scripture? Abundance and multiplication, adding to, and all these different things. Amen. The exceeding great promises of God wrapped up in this scripture. But there is a little clause that says, if you do these things, you have these things. I'm thankful that God has invested in us an opportunity to know his power and his goodness. Amen. He just don't have heaven all for himself and the glory of heaven for himself. I'm thankful that he has shed abroad his great power to us today. It's just not something way out there, but God has power for you to live right now in his kingdom and to experience his greatness. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the word. Thank you for your grace and mercy today. Thank you for the intervention of your goodness in my life, Lord, for making a difference. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Look at what God's done for us. I hope we realize exactly what God is doing, what we have before us. You know, our experience with God must be a life-changing experience. I don't want a religious experience that doesn't change me. Come on. Simon Peter writes of the intervention of our God, verse 1, and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, grace and peace be multiplied I'm thankful that grace and peace is not just a one-time deal, but it has a inclining value, that grace and peace will grow and be multiplied in our lives over and over and over as we deepen our relationship with God. You'll find the multiplication of God's grace and peace as you deepen your relationship with God. Everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to you. Think about it. Amen. God wants you to know who He is. God don't want you just to know about Him, but God wants you to know Him through the fullness of His Spirit and through a relationship, through intimacy and a personal walk with Him. The more you know Him, the more you grow in Him. Not only have we been given an escape from the pollutions and the corruptions of this world, not only have we been given an escape from the penalty and the doom and the debt that we could not pay, amen, but God has given us even a ticket to participate in the blessings of a life with Him. Are you thankful today that God's put a ticket in your hand? Amen. Think with me. God not only just gave us, amen, an opportunity to have all our sins, the debt that we owe that we could not pay, forgiven, but God said, I've given you an opportunity, amen, to know me and to have me in your life. Now, this is all after you turn your back to the world. I cannot overemphasize that you cannot know the fullness of God in your life till you learn to turn your back to the world. Amen. You got to turn your back to the things of worldliness and to the flesh. Amen. Hear me. Amen. You got to get to that place. It's important that you learn to turn your back to the world and your face to God. I want to seek God with a whole heart. I want to seek His face. Most people want the hand of God. They want the blessings of God, but not the face of God. You got to seek His face. God is looking for a people that will turn their back. In order to seek His face, you must turn your back to the world. And we don't need to lose another minute in building on what we have been given. Your life needs to have an expansion program. Your faith needs to have an expansion program. You need to complement basic faith in your life. God has come in. God has given you forgiveness, and also He has washed your sins away. Now, He said, add to your faith. Faith must have an addition. Add to your faith some character elements called virtue. And it's beautiful when the virtue comes in your life. There's something about it. When you start adding to your faith, the next thing, knowledge. That spiritual understanding by getting to know God. Temperance. That self-discipline. That you hand the reins to God. See, you add to your faith. The next thing, there's going to be patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. That word charity is not just a superficial love, but it simply means a God-reflective love. You're going to reflect God in your life. You're going to reflect who He is and what He's done for you. Amen. The problem I find that in our world today, we have forgotten what God has done for us. We've forgotten that we used to owe a debt. And that debt and that penalty of doom, God has forgiven us of. Well, it said in verse 8, for if these things be in you, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to be barren. I don't want to be unfruitful. But I want that glory of God to grow in me, to expand in me. I want the well of God to bubble up and flow in my life. How about you? Amen. You know, without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you. You don't understand. Obviously, amen, you look and your old life is oblivious. And you forget that your books, the accounting books of sin and the penalty of sin, you could not pay. You could not afford to pay. There was no way that you could come up with the amount. But God, who is rich in mercy, amen, has come to your life to set you free from that debt, that slavery of a debt that you could not pay. I'm grateful today that I have a God who's still at work in my life. How about you? Now, he said, if these things abide in you and abound in you, amen, you shall never fall. A never falling, stumbling occasion is promised to those that keep God in that place in their life. And it talks about diligence in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. It said, wherefore, brethren, give diligence. See that word diligence? Give diligence to make your calling and election, say it with me, sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. This never fall system is hinged on your diligence to make serious your life and the calling of your life in God. If you keep living and adding to your faith, the things that we call the virtue characteristics while ago, you'll have a firm footing. And God opens and paves a way for you to have a relationship with Him, a constant thing. It's not just a Sunday morning, Sunday night thing. I'm glad that I can know Jesus every day of my life. I can have His power at operation in my life. Yeah. The key word is diligence. Word diligence in just country boy language means doing your best. To do your best. Doing your best to do your best. Country boy definition. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to diligently seek him. You can't come to God until there's a diligence. You doing your best to do your best to seek God. Boy, it's quiet. But I'm telling the truth today to somebody. Amen. You better have diligence in your life and your relationship with God. A diligence to seek to know Him. Our earnest and diligent investment in the kingdom of God and our relationship with God really matters. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But it don't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And most people read it and they never get it. The gift of God is through Jesus Christ. You'll never have eternal life and the gifts of eternal life until you have a continual walk through Jesus Christ. You'll never get there if He's not in your life constantly. It's not just a one-time deal, hear me. Amen. But oh, I'm thankful that there is an outcome. Every day there is a payment for living for God. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. You know, the consequences of sin is death. But just like the consequences of sin is separation from God, the consequences of living for God is eternal life. God has taken our debt and forgave it. We talked about that just a little bit ago. But I want you to say this today, with all respect. When you come to God, God has more than a get out of jail free card for you. He has more than a get out of hell card for you. We have an opportunity to live a continual giving relationship with Jesus Christ. He has a gift that keeps on giving. He's the gift that keeps on giving. I said He's the giver that keeps on giving. Today I want to talk to you about God's divine investment plan. I like to listen to Dave Ramsey because I like to be victorious in my life over finances. But there are people that they're so excited to be delivered from financial trouble. I hear him call into Dave Ramsey and say, I did it. I owed $80,000 last year and I wiped out my debt by realizing it is cheaper to eat at home instead of running and eating at every restaurant every day. I've learned I don't have to have all the things of life. And they've learned to execute their debt. And they become debt free by simple principles of sacrifice and discipline. Well, I want to tell you today, I'm glad that Jesus Christ went to the cross for me to relieve me from the slavery of debt and the penalty of sin. Folks, don't ever forget what Jesus has done for you. Don't ever forget the price that he paid for your life. He invested in your life. Amen. And when you explore the divine investment that God has made inside of you and the opportunity he's given you now for you to invest in him, the promises are beyond our wildest dream. I want you to think about this. Unlike the stock market or earthly investments, God's interest plan guarantees dividends that grow exponentially. Over time, it continues to grow. There's a guarantee that God has given you. The more you delve into his promises and his relationship, the more you receive of him. God cannot help but give to those a higher interest when you put your interest in him. Now, I know what the word interest means. In money matters, the word interest is the price that somebody charges you to use their money. For example, if you borrow $100 from somebody and they charge you 10% interest, you're going to have to pay $10 for 10% interest. Am I correct? Uh-huh. That's the interest. That's the price for using somebody's money. I want you to think about it. Living for God, God's not charging you interest. He's giving you interest. When you put your interest, your affection, your desires in him, when we are interested in God, God invests back into us his interest, his blessings, and it's more than just a percentage. He multiplies beyond number, even beyond what money can ever buy, into your life a great, great investment. I'm thankful for that. You can't buy healing. Doctors can't give you what God can give you. I'm thankful that one touch of the Lord's hand, God can make a difference this morning. How many's ever been healed before? Man, see, you've got a taste of it already. How many's ever had God supply your monetary needs before? You know it was definitely God. How many's ever God has answered a prayer for you? A long distant prayer. Hey, I'm telling you, God is really interested in us. But it seems that to get your interest today, what does God have to do? I know in church services today, there are folks that are being fooled into this. They think that you got to, in order to get people's interest, that I need to be up here and I need to be an entertainer. We need some entertainment, Pastor. We need a smoke machine. Man, smoke machine ain't going to do it. All this hip-hop music's not going to do it. We needed the old-fashioned, amen, giving God our interests, giving God our desires, and worshiping him. Hear me, son of God. All the different tricks and means of entertainment, amen, will not get your heart. But when somebody learns to say, God, I'm still thankful for what you've done for me, and I'm thankful for who you are and what you're doing in my life. What a difference. See, it's more than get out of hell card. How many's ever played Monopoly before? There's a card called get out of jail. Free. And you think about what Jesus done for us. Get out of jail. Get out of hell. But most people think it's just a get out of hell card. But I want to tell you, there's some people that God blesses, but they never get out of the jail that was on the inside of them. We mentioned it to inmates. I might as well mention it today. You can be a inmate on the outside, but you don't have to be one on the inside. I'm glad that he set me free. How about you? Don't you think back in the Bible times, even the days of Apostle Paul, where slavery was permitted, there were slaves in the houses of people that had the Holy Ghost. Even though they were bond to doing a job and to being a slave for somebody, they had a freedom and a liberty on the inside. Amen. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost today, I'm glad that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm an alien. I don't belong here, but I have a liberty on the inside. Amen. But living for God is more than just something for tomorrow. It's more than just something down the road. There is a great guarantee that God gives. Amen. Such a higher dividend. Just thinking, oh, one day it's going to happen. One day we're going to have eternal life. I want to just tell you today, you need to enjoy living for God. Amen. There ought to be a fulfillment in your relationship with God today. Oh, there's a promise of eternal life, a never-ending result. That's the foundational promises that God has made and invested for us. But I still believe you had to repent of your sins. I still believe that you had to turn your back on the world. And I still believe you got to be water baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. I still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost living inside of you. But hear me, there's more to it than Acts 2:38. It gripes and grieves my soul today when I go to places and the preachers are preaching to a crowd of people that could quote Acts 2:38, that's quoted for years and know what it's all about, but they still get up there and that's all they talk about. Come on, give me something how to live. Give me something beyond Acts 2:38. Give me something beyond just the same old gong that you're ringing. We need to hear it preached, yes. We need to know about it, yes. But friend, there's more to the book than Acts 2:38. Receive the Holy Ghost as a diploma. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's a birth certificate. It's a beginning. And it's a relationship with the Almighty God. Amen. I want to walk with God. I want to know the power of His righteousness. Amen. Things started happening when people began to grow their faith. I want you to think about those in the Bible. The principle of faithful stewardship. When God invested something in their life. You know, in Matthew, the 25th chapter, Jesus begins to use the parable of the talents. And he talks about those that were entrusted with resources and abilities. And he talks about whenever they invested what they had, there was a multiplication of blessings, like the servants who invested their talents. They got to see it double. And what Jesus is trying to teach us, when you invest in His kingdom, you can't go wrong. But you got to do it. You got to put in an action. For example, there was also a one that, think about it, the man who kept back, he kept what he had and gained nothing. Anybody knows what Jesus called him? A wicked and slothful servant. You know the reason why? Because he did nothing with what he had. He was called a wicked and slothful servant. And then Jesus said, cast this man, this unprofitable servant, into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Unprofitable servant. All because he did nothing with what he had. What are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? Are you sitting on it? Where are you serving God? What are you doing with the kingdom of God? Is it just come to church? Well, just are you just a weekend only saint of God? Will you just come on? You kind of like somebody just a weekend warrior? And I heard this. Where I found out about a weekend warrior was, it was a gang member that received the Holy Ghost. And he was a motorcycle gang member. And he received the Holy Ghost and he talked about it. He said, you know, it was really a gang I belonged to. He said, we were mean and bad. And he said, there are those that are wannabes. He said, they go buy them a bike, and they'll buy them a jacket, and on weekends, they trade their suits, their business clothes, and they put on our clothes. And he said, well, weekends, they'll you know, go around. He said, but a true gang member is 7 days a week a gang member. You're not just a weekend warrior. I want to tell somebody, when you turn your back on the world, amen, God has called you not to be a weekend warrior. God has called you to be on call 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We don't put God, hey friend, God is looking for somebody to be a warrior for him. You may be feeble in your body. You may have arthritis. You may be confined to a wheelchair. Nobody here is, but hear me. God has called you to be a warrior. We talked about the other day. To live for God, you better have a backbone, not a wishbone. Amen. Everybody has more wishbones than they have a backbone. But God is looking for somebody to realize what we have when we live for God. I feel the call of God today in this service for his church to wise up and to rise up and realize, amen, there's a great plan that God wants you to invest in. And in his kingdom, amen, where there is interest daily that begins to fall from heaven in your life. Divine dividends. Eternal, yes. It's not limited to eternal things. There's spiritual growth results that start happening. When you add to your faith becomes more robust. And there's a cultivation of your relationship with God that leads to greater peace and joy. You can handle things on earth. When the storms of life come your way, there's a peace on the inside. Let me share again with you the world's definition of peace. The world's definition of peace is that calmness on the outside. No troubles on the outside. But the definition of a peace that God gives, that in spite of the storm of life, he will give you that calm and that assurance on the inside. Which would you rather have? Would you rather live a comfortable life, a pillowed life, but yet had trouble the inside? That's where our world's at. They want peace, so they're trying drugs. They're trying these things. They're trying to get their peace on the inside. But I'm thankful this morning that God will take you in the midst of all the problems of life, in the midst of your storm, and he'll step in your heart and let his peace rule inside of you. You can't buy that, friend. Amen. Oh, you ought to lift your hands with me right now and thank the Lord for that peace. Amen. That peace that passes all understanding. That peace. Amen. Oh, thank you for that today. God, thank you for peace. The assurance that you give. God, that eternal peace that you bring. Divine. Divine peace he brings. Amen. I'd rather tap into that. Just because we're fixing to have an election and whoever the president may be or not be, not going to fix our world. Yeah, I have hopes. I love our nation. I love the United States of America. But hear me. No man-made thing can fix the problems that we're in today. It's not no amount of help. It takes God Almighty. And I'm thankful today that I have a God that has invested in my life that opportunity to know his interest and his glory. When we tap into God's faithfulness and his provisions, you grow and you know more of God. You learn of his faithfulness and you grow in his faithfulness. You find that God is a loving God, a God of beauty, a God of mercy, a God of goodness. Not just when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, not when God took the blood and washed your account away. But every step of the way, there's peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Think about it. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. When we trust God with our resources, our time, and our talents, he promises to meet us and to meet our needs with abundance. Many people get mad when you start talking about sacrifice. They automatically think money. I'm going to tell you, you can peel out all the money you got. But if you ain't giving yourself with your money, you're really not doing any good. You can volunteer for everything here at the church. And I thank God for those that sacrificially give their time. But if God don't have your heart, what good is all the efforts? God is looking for somebody, amen, to have meaning. God is looking for somebody to give of themselves, to invest their interest in his plan. Think with me today. How beautiful it is when you start investing in the kingdom of God. You have a God that says, you're not going to outgive me. You're not going to outbless me. The power of compounding blessings begin to come about when a saint of God begins to put his interest in the things of God's kingdom. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 23, it speaks about the seed falling on good ground. Receptive ground. Receptive ground today. A receptive spirit, a receptive heart. It refers to somebody who hears the word, receives the word with gladness and singleness of heart, and applies the word. This is the one that produces, in Matthew, the 13th chapter, the crop that yields so much more than what was sown. And our investment in God's work, whether it's through evangelism, discipleship, acts of kindness, and a walk with God, results in a harvest far greater than we can initially, whatever we can sow. Our influence begins to multiply. You see, there's not all the darkness in the world can't put out a little candle's light. There's not enough darkness to put out the light. And I thank God that he turned a light on for me one day, that I could turn a light on for somebody else and let my light shine. Amen. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Amen. That has enabled you to come before his throne. But friend, amen, God has called you to be a light in this hour, to let your light so shine that men could see you. If we are not letting our light shine, if we're not investing our interest in God, amen, we'll never have the influence in our world that men can see that there really is a God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the invisible. I don't understand why you live what you live, how you live. The invisible becomes evident, apparent. My life, by the way I live and the way I worship God. It's amazing. How many's ever had the opportunity of seeing somebody who had never been to church before, never felt the power of God, never heard about the plan of salvation, Jesus down the cross? Have you ever met somebody, anybody in this room ever met somebody never heard truly how Jesus was born and how? I mean, anybody beside me? You know, there's been people in that jail that sat in that jail that never knew. They heard about Jesus. They never knew anything about him other than just being told that, you know, he's a good luck charm. Here's a cross, wear it around your neck. That's what they teach, the mindset of our world. I've had the privilege of talking to people that did not know anything. I mean, they didn't even know how to pray. They didn't even know what prayer was. The Bible was just a book. And I've had people outside the jail that I've met the same way. And you know what's beautiful? When I start talking to them about Jesus Christ and what Jesus did, and who Jesus is, something began to happen. I'll never forget that day that God filled Eunice with the Holy Ghost, that young girl in the jail that day. I'll never forget those that for the first time ever seen the power of God. I'll never forget the young lady that was a Muslim. When it was she seen and people that didn't even believe and know a God, that you ask them how they believe, they didn't even have no belief. But when the Spirit of God came to their life and God turned the light on, I seen the evidence of a Savior that really loves. Oh, I had people, Brother Jess would tell you, there are people in there that, you know, they're in jail, they're there, and they just get jailhouse religion. But I had people that had no hope. Their life is messed up and they know it. Every bridge behind them, they have burned. They have no family, nobody. They messed up their life. They have no future. And I've had them walk in and the Spirit of God come on them. People that you would say don't deserve to have forgiveness in their life. Don't deserve to have the blood of Jesus in their life. They were horrible people. They were criminals. They were greatly criminals that done horrible things. had people that raped children, molested babies. And by all means of the flesh, I would say they don't deserve the love of God. You make me mad to know what they've done. How horrible they were to those kids, to the parents. The grace of God. Amen. I came to bring the good news to somebody. Amen. And the good news will go beyond feelings, attitudes, ways, and evaluations of humanity. I'm thankful the blood of Jesus will wash away every sin. I've seen the Holy Ghost fall on these people, and they didn't just get something. Amen. Just a religious touch. The Holy Ghost fell on them. There's people that I have baptized. When they come up out of that water, they receive the same Holy Ghost that I have and you have received. I'm thankful the blood of Jesus that the Lord God came to forgive man's sin. Boy, got quiet. And such were some of us. And such were some of us. But now we've been washed. We've been cleansed. We've been sanctified. Folks, don't ever forget what Jesus has done for you. Amen. He invested in you before you even knew about it. He invested in you because, amen, he saw something in you. Now, if he's done that, I feel that we need to invest in him and his kingdom. Think about it, eternal rewards. The Bible says in Matthew, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust, nor thieves do break in and steal. Laying up treasures. The dividends of investing in God's kingdom are not limited to this life. But when we store up treasures, hear me, that will never diminish, our faithfulness on earth will translate into eternal rewards. I want to just talk to somebody today. You are important to God. Amen. The enemy wants to dull your senses and dull your life. Amen. Hear me again. Life is not a video game where you can say, I could go back and play it again. No, you got one chance to live. And friend, one chance at all. God wants you to live for him and invest in him. He died for you. Why can't you give your life back to him? Don't be stingy with your life. Don't be stingy with what you got. Only thing it takes, Brother Fancher would tell you, just one tornado. And everything that you have could be completely. I mean, this man worked hard for what he had. It didn't just come overnight. It only took just a tornado to take everything and twist it and throw it. Another place has to lose everything. Don't build your life on things that can be taken. But the tornado, the thief, the elements of this world can steal it. But I want to invest in a heavenly treasure that will never fade away. And how beautiful it is, because with that, amen, there's something that translates not just an eternal portion, but God will give you something here. Amen. Think with me. An investment, unlike earthly investments, amen. The thing that God has for you is immune to the market fluctuations. Amen. It's immune to all the problems of our world. Amen. It guarantees something in your life when you live for him that will grow as you grow day by day. Amen. Things begin to happen. There is an interest account that God has that he wants to grow in your life. He wants you to be used. He wants that investment in your life to be something great and greater than what you ever expected. That's why we got to set our treasure, our interest on things above and not the things of the world. Today, it's time to commit, to invest, to put our relationship in God, in the work of his kingdom. I ask you today, where are you working in the kingdom of God? What are you doing in the kingdom of God? If we had a survey today to find out, what are you doing in the kingdom? Well, I'm coming to church and showing up. Well, you're showing out if you're not living for God. You're just putting on a front today, because God has never called anybody to be a nobody, to do nothing in his kingdom. You are a somebody in the kingdom of God. We were a nobody, but now we are a somebody because of his blood in our life, in his name on our life. Are you thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? Amen. Praise God. I'm not done. It's worth the interest. It's worth the investment. The greater dividends we'll see, both now and for eternity, when we totally invest into what He's done for us. It's worth the interest. It's worth the investment. Because in the end, He's going to say, well done. Everybody say the word, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Well done. How many wants the Lord to say well done to you? I want you to think about it. Well done implies somebody did something. You see, God did something, but that faithful servant did something. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. To hear well done, you better do something with what He's done for you. What are you doing with what God has gave you? Matters. A divine interest rate and an investment plan every day of your life. Man, there's times I have not felt one inkling of the Holy Ghost. And God, somebody needed prayer. And I did it because I knew God could. Well, I didn't feel it. I didn't feel one inkling of the Holy Ghost. But I knew God could. And I anointed with oil. And I prayed in Jesus' name. There's times that, and I had walked down these steps in pain. Well, arthritis was so bad in my knee and my hip. And I walked down there and I said, God, how can, the flesh is saying, how can God heal? How can you pray for somebody's healing when pain is at number 10 level in your body? How can you believe God? Hey, can I tell you? I couldn't feel nothing but my own pain. And I prayed for people and God has healed them. That's the God I serve. It's not by my feeling. It's not by my reasonability or my rationale. It's by His word. It's by His promises. Amen. He said it. I believe it. And that's enough. I don't argue with the things of God. Amen. I don't play around with the things of God. I'm serious about my life. I'm serious about my relationship with God. Hallelujah. So I invested in Him. And how beautiful it is that there's been times I've gone through dry times where I didn't feel a drop. There's some times my faith felt so frustrated and challenged. And I thought, oh God. And the enemy said, you can't feel God. You must be backslidden. Nope. I can promise you. And getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and praying, seeking God, reading the word of God, living for God, saying no to the flesh. The enemy said, you can't feel God. You must be backslidden. Friend, we do not gauge our relationship with God only on feelings. I got to knock it in the head and tell somebody today, don't you let lack of feelings keep you from serving God. Don't let lack of feelings cause you for not being faithful to God. Don't let lack of feelings cause you to not worship and give God your best. Oh, hear me. Amen. Oh, I want to tell somebody the Holy Ghost today. God is looking for somebody sometimes to walk the valley by faith. But friend, God will be with you every step of the way, whether you feel Him or not. But God is rewarder than them that diligently seek Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. The Holy Ghost is ministering. Lord, I thank You for Your word, Your truth, Your life. Amen. Why don't we just stand and lift our hands and hearts to God this morning. Hallelujah. God, I thank You. Hallelujah. Come on, I believe somebody needs to thank the Lord today for His goodness and power. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I praise You, Lord. Teach me to march. Teach me to march forward. Teach me, oh God, to stay steadfast. Teach me, oh God, even to bank and invest totally in Your promises. And this is the final thing I want to say. I love to feel the Holy Ghost about you. I love to feel the goodness of the Lord. love to feel the sweet, sweet spirit of the God of heaven. I believe when we seek his face and we live with a heart that is towards God, that the Lord will help you, that you will feel the greatness and the goodness of God in your life. Several times this week, under the clear blue, I felt the great arms of God wrapped around me and hold me. And I have fought this week, amen, against spirits. I fought against fleshly spirits. I fought against things and people that are going through troubles and trials in their life. And some people think, surely I must be backslid, surely. Just like I said a while ago, oh, but I'm so thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Amen, that there's some people still holding on. Some people still holding that banner up. People that are still walking with the King that's saying, amen, I have a made up mind, Pastor. I have a made up mind. I'm not going to let this move me. I'm not going to let this sway me. I'm going to march the march. I'm going to walk the walk. I'm going to do more for the Lord than ever in my life. How beautiful it is to see the interest of God begin to come through. When you watch God answer a prayer and another prayer, and God do the miraculous over and over and over again. The children of Israel had to get hungry. They had to get thirsty. They had to get weary for the Lord to provide them something that they appreciated. And after they did that, some of them still didn't appreciate it. It became common and old to them. But I'm so thankful today that he's invested in me, that I can have something daily in him and forever in him. Amen. Would you lift your hands? There's somebody needs to just love the Lord back today. Come on, love the Lord back for what he's done for you. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve his goodness and grace. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for his power. Thank the Lord for his plan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for reaching. We worship you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Fresh anointing fall on me.
Put it in my desires.
Open up my eyes to see a world beyond my own.
I wonder if there's somebody in the house this morning that you just need to come and just say, thank you, Jesus. You just need to step forward and say, God, I want to thank you. Thank you for speaking to me, Lord, reaching to me today. Come on, would you come and give back to the Lord this morning? Would you come and just give to the Lord this morning that honor? Amen. Who would it be would say, thank you, Jesus. Your sacrifice, you're blessed. I'm going to bless you back today.
Anointing.